Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 135, recorded on August 31st, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know why?
I'm here.
Do you know why? Because we have...
Something space-related.
No, I mean, I did see something space-related that really... excited me today, but even more than that, it's because Bill Palmer's here from Beatnik Magazine.
That's not my name.
Oh, Bill Pronger? Is that it?
Getting closer.
Do you remember that? Was it episode 5 when I called you Bill Pronger?
There's a hockey player named Pronger, not Bill Pronger, but something, you know, something Pronger. And so, it, you know, maybe you watch a lot of hockey in your sleep. I don't know.
That could be. I sleep watch TV. Sleep watching. But yeah, that was back when I hardly even knew how to use my microphone.
As opposed to now when you...
Well, yeah. Good one.
It's a pen, not a microphone there.
Okay.
Well, consummate professional.
So it's actually kind of fun that we're talking about previous episodes because today I was just running around through some of the previous episodes in the iTunes directory, and I hit play on a random episode, and it just so happened to be the episode where we covered Apple's purchase of Lala. And that, I think, is my most the thing that I'm most excited about this week is that Apple has now started providing beta access to developers for iOS 5 to access the upcoming iTunes Match service, which at its debut did not seem to be what we were hoping it would be, which was iTunes streaming, like Lala style. However, developers have access to it. They actually do have to pay $25, as it will be when it's available to the general public. They had to pay $25 in order to start subscription. However, they do get 3 months free, which is pretty cool, in addition to the 12 months per year. Or it's $25 per year. They get an additional...
Yes, there
free.
Are 12 months in a year.
That's true. I just learned
when
that.
When did they change that? Pluto's not a planet. Now September's not a month. What are we talking about?
September?
Yes. I don't even
remember. I think I'm too young to remember that month.
Yeah, but, they got rid of it around 1982. It was a controversial thing.
Okay. Well... So anyway, iTunes Match, what it does is for, as people know right now, any music you have purchased from the iTunes store ever is available to you on demand whenever you want. You can re-download it. With iTunes Match, any music that you have not purchased through iTunes allows you to kind of exactly in Lala style, instead of having to upload all of your music that you have on your computer that did not come from iTunes, it just simply looks at your iTunes library and matches those songs to songs in iTunes, the iTunes store already, and then immediately makes them available for you through the iTunes Match service. Now, when Steve Jobs introduced this service, he did not tell us we would be able to quote unquote stream the music. We would only be able to download them, re-download them. And that's fantastic. It's a great ability, but it didn't seem to be what I was looking for. Now that developers have had access to this for a little while, we've seen that once you turn on your iTunes Match and it's gone through your iTunes library and iTunes now knows what songs you have, you can stream them from either your computer with the proper iTunes beta on it, or even on your iOS devices with the most recent beta. And it appears to work. So in iTunes, when you go to your music tab in the sources list, there will be a little cloud icon there. And all of your music that you have on your computer right now will be there, of course. But any music that you do not have on your computer, but is up in the cloud that has been matched by iTunes Match, or you've purchased through iTunes, will also be listed there with a little cloud download button. Now, you don't have to click that download button. You can just double click and it will begin playing. It will start. Now, when there were a couple videos that came out following this release showing, hey, iTunes Match allows you to stream, and then Apple immediately responded, which is kind of interesting because they don't usually respond to anything like this. But they were quick to respond to say that iTunes Match does not stream music, it downloads music, which yes. is really semantics. Because what it does is it downloads it. It starts playing at once you... It plays as you download, really.
Well, yeah, so that's progressive download. That's not true streaming.
Right.
This is also streaming of music you've purchased. This is still within the iTunes framework. It's nothing like Lala, which was stream music all day and don't pay for it until Lala goes bankrupt like every other streaming company.
No, you did pay for the music that you had, although except for the stuff that you matched. I don't think you paid for anything you matched.
Well, right. And the streaming difference here is this is not streaming like Pandora.
Right.
Where yeah. there's nothing stored locally. You are, depending upon the speed of your connection and how it works, it is progressively downloading. So when it gets enough, it's like buffering. And once it has enough in the buffer, it's going to play, but it's still downloading the file to your...
Right. And it is actually saving it to the disk.
Yes, it's playing it from the disk.
Right. As you see with stuff on YouTube or QuickTime videos that progressively download as you watch them, those are stored in the memory in your RAM.
Right.
And as soon as you close the window, it's gone. Now, as we've seen from further demo videos of the service, if you play a song in its entirety, it doesn't really give you any indication as to how much has been downloaded. But if a track has been played through all the way, you can assume that it's been all the way downloaded. And that's been kind of proven true by the fact that once you've played a song, you click on the little cloud download button and it just kind of within a second or so just kind of verifies that it's there and says, cool, you have it. As opposed to without having played it first, it actually takes a few seconds to download. Same deal goes with if you turn on airplane mode, you don't have a connection, you can replay that track as opposed to tracks that you hadn't played already. So the bottom line is the way it works on your iOS device within the music application, once you sign in with iTunes Match and you have it turned on, all the music that you have available in iTunes Match shows up in the way that all of your standard music that's already loaded onto your device shows up, and you can play it immediately. And it's basically what I've been wanting ever since I got an iPhone.
Let me ask you this, then, though, because, I mean, you couldn't pay me to listen to streaming music, but I know it's your thing and you've been wanting it forever. So let me ask you this, since you could respond practically. I mean, and with 3G networks being crap and 4G networks not even being rolled out and limited data plans, does this really even matter? I mean, can you really put this to use except in those, you know, three different places you can find Wi-Fi on your phone outside of the house?
I think it's definitely going to work out. So I've been using a service called Zumocast, and they have a high quality over 3G option, which I turn on because I have unlimited data. And generally speaking, it only takes a couple seconds, if that, to begin playing a song. Again, because it's a progressive download and you're not downloading the entire track before you start playing. And so as far as I can tell, especially kind of verified by the fact that when you hit the download button, it just kind of says, yep, you have it after you've played it and it's been cached. It seems as though you will be streaming that high quality 256 AAC. It's 256, right? Adam?
I don't know if Apple has said specifically what they're... But well, that would be... If you're downloading Apple's file, then yeah, that's what it should be, but...
Right, yeah. So it does appear, just based on what we've seen in these videos so far, you will be downloading that. Now, in the videos that I saw, it seemed like it was over Wi-Fi. So I didn't see any videos where the person was doing it over 3G, but I'm guessing it would not be much slower. 3G is, I would say, fast enough for this to work. Adam, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been doing a lot of Pandora streaming. It's probably more highly compressed than what Apple's doing, but I wouldn't see any reason why not. And I never have an issue where I am with Pandora over 3G. I mean, it doesn't skip. It doesn't. I've never had any problems playing it, and I've been listening to a lot of it. Again, though, I have the unlimited data plan. So as Bill's pointing out, the dilemma with this is Apple and AT&T, or I shouldn't say Apple, the carriers, AT&T, Verizon, soon to be T-Mobile, Sprint, and everybody else is capping data and slowing us down. And I mean, you're going to go over your data rate plans if you start
definitely.
Doing a lot
but
of
that's
this
what
over
the carriers
3G.
Want.
So
that's the big, you know?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Carriers want you to go over Apple. If Apple doesn't do this, let's say they kill it before it's launched or something, it'd probably be because Apple doesn't want to be blamed for everyone who starts getting these $900 bills from AT&T and Verizon. Because a lot of people, like the same way a lot of people blame their iPhone for drop calls, even though it's, you know, it's the carrier.
Well, I think there are options in the settings that by default it doesn't do that over 3G.
Yeah.
Or at least there are warnings saying, hey, you're on 3G, you may have a data cap, etc.
So someone like you who knows what you're doing and what you're getting into or has unlimited, you can go turn it on. But for most people, I would think Apple would leave it turned off because they don't, like I said, they don't want to be in the middle of, you know,
right,
that kind of
right. Yeah. And again, you can download, there's a next to each song and for each album or collection of songs, there is a download all button. So if you're at home and you're thinking to yourself, I want to listen to the Blueprint. When I get on the road, I just hit this download button before I leave my Wi-Fi network and it downloads real quick. And then there you go. In addition to that, you can also delete songs from your iPod library too. So this is all done through your music app, not through the iTunes app. So if you go to your iTunes app right now and you have iTunes in the cloud stuff and you tap on it, it will only stream the standard iTunes preview. So this is somewhat different. So I'm excited about this. This is looking pretty good.
Well, I'm excited for you.
So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, Apple just made $25 off you for sure.
I would
say so.
Until they
kill this right before it launches and it goes back to being download only, then you're just going to be
If they change it, I'm going to not be very happy. But it seems like they're going to leave it this way, hopefully.
I think they're moving forward with this. I don't think they're going to back out of it.
Yeah, it seems like I'm hoping, especially if they're having developers test it out at this point. I think they're planning on having it done this way. But it is available only to people in the U.S. right now. However, someone sent an email to Tim Cook, Apple's new CEO, saying when are people in Canada going to get this? And he actually forwarded it over to Eddie Q. He's in charge of iTunes, and he responded that it's coming to Canada very soon, which is interesting. Nice to see that the lines of communication that we saw with...
That could be the sort of defining change of this era. Not that Steve didn't answer emails himself, but, you know, the idea that he would be facilitating an answer and sending it to PR, you know, that could be a big change, really.
It seems kind of similar to the way Steve Jobs has done it, although I think this is the first time I've seen... Has Steve Jobs kind of forwarded emails around to varying VPs, depending on what the specificity of the email is?
I don't keep that close a watch on Steve Jobs' emails.
I think he just mostly gave short, snarky answers, kind of like, you know,
yes, no, suck it, whatever.
Yeah, like the guy that said, why won't you put my products? Like, change the name, you know, I mean, just kind of...
Yeah.
Before they probably told him to knock it off because it was every email he sent was a big headline somewhere. Mm-hmm.
So did you guys see that today, according to Bloomberg, the U.S. government has filed a complaint seeking a court to block AT&T's acquisition of T-Mobile, claiming antitrust concerns, which... I'm going to say I don't really want to see T-Mobile go away.
You know, it's anti-competitive enough with the four of them. For the most part, they're not trying to compete with each other at all. I mean, well, AT&T and Verizon are probably having lunch and setting prices every month.
I would say that T-Mobile has been the one that has stood out quite a lot. And there are rumors that the next generation iPhone will have the ability to work on T-Mobile's 3G data network. As you know, right now you cannot use 3G data on your jailbroken or unlocked rather iPhone on T-Mobile.
What I worry about though is if this gets dragged out and you know T-Mobile's in limbo for the next 6 months to a year, where maybe they're getting bought, maybe they're looking for another buyer, I don't know that they can really easily go do an iPhone deal, because eventually they're going to be owned by AT&T or Verizon, or I don't know if Sprint would be big enough to buy them. But you know, any carrier that buys them is going to have their own iPhone deal already. So I wonder if T-Mobile may not be able to add the iPhone until they finish getting bought out, or until they, you know, get to a point where they say, okay, we're not, you know, we're going to remain independent and that's final. Because I don't know that they, you know, they could easily go do a deal, and wouldn't that make it harder for them to then get acquired by another carrier that has another iPhone deal? Maybe not.
But well, I honestly don't think so. If T-Mobile's smart, and I think they are, they're of course aware of the fact that this deal might not go through. And I feel like they've probably been operating under that contingency where if they're not bought by AT&T, they're still going ahead business as usual with whatever deals they had planned to do. And if they have a deal with Apple to get the iPhone in works, then I think Apple is of course aware of that. And they're thinking, well, we'll do a deal with you. And if you do get bought by AT&T, then no big deal. You're just kind of under AT&T's deal as well, or something to that effect. I think all parties involved are aware of the potential for both scenarios and are probably going to try and make it work the best they can.
Unless T-Mobile ends up getting bought by Google or something. that would be awkward.
That would be awkward. Also, maybe anti-competitive.
Yeah, that one, they might have more of a problem with that one than with AT&T
yeah,
buying.
Yeah.
What if Apple buys them? Ooh, see. There you
go. That'd be interesting as well.
I don't know. Can we talk about the iPhone lost in a bar? Because I like recycling stories.
Oh, yeah. I forgot where that went. Okay. So Apple, it came out today, according to CNET, they have received information that another iPhone prototype, this time the current next generation iPhone prototype, was lost in a bar at the Cava 22 in San Francisco.
You're joking, right?
No, did you not hear about this? Yeah, a day or two after the phone was lost at San Francisco's Cava 22, which describes itself as a tequila lounge, Apple representatives contacted San Francisco police saying the device was priceless and that the company was desperate to secure its safe return, the source said. Still unclear are details about the device, what version of the iOS operating system it was running, and what it looks like. Apparently, they tracked it to someone's house. The police and Apple investigators went there. The person who answered the door said they didn't know what they were talking about. They searched the residence and did not find the phone. And there are rumors that it was sold on Craigslist for $200.
I think Cava 22 made this whole thing up. And I hate to accuse some bar of it, but no, seriously.
No. I think that Apple is the one who knows about it. I don't think Cava 22 made this up, especially.
Well, where is this phone?
They don't know.
If it was sold on Craigslist, now it's what? It's nowhere. The guy didn't give it back to Apple, but also didn't sell it to. Also, every story I go to, and I looked at Mac Rumors, and I looked at CNET, and I bet if I looked at the three other places that published a story, the first photo is of the bar. One's of the outside of Cava 22. One's of the inside of Cava 22. Where do they all get these photos of a bar that no one's heard of? Unless the person who's sending out this story that's the source is the bar itself. Oh, by the way, here's some pictures of our bar, but don't mention you got it from us. I see these photos of this bar I've never heard of. Is every publication next door to Cava 22?
I think it's a situation where there are no photos of the iPhone 5. So what's the other subject in the story?
Where do you get a picture of a picture of Chili's or a picture of McDonald's? We all got a picture of McDonald's on
Google
our phone.
Google image
sure.
search.
Oh, wait, I'm checking Brian Lamb's recent purchase history on Craigslist.
Okay, here we go. This is real-time reporting.
First of all,
right
I typed in Cava 22 in the Google image search, and the two images on CNET and Mac Rumors are not among the top 100 photos that came up. So these photos came from somewhere else.
Right. James Martin of CNET took the photo that's on CNET's photo, or post. And the one on MacRumors, courtesy of CNET again. Same deal. CNET went there because they're invested, yada, yada. You know how it goes.
I don't know. Of course, I was quite convinced the last iPhone in the bar story was fake, but only because the iPhone 4 prototype was way too ugly to be an Apple product. So I got that one right, didn't I?
That's true, yeah.
I know, yeah.
So. That's the other fun thing about listening to past episodes of the show is we're so negative about everything, and then we just... The great thing is we forget everything we say as soon as we turn off this thing, and so we don't realize that we were completely wrong about a lot of that.
You got to have a short memory or you can't be confident about your next wrong predictions.
Exactly. That's what makes it fun.
Exactly. And then you guys at home get to make fun of us for being completely wrong yet again.
Yeah, someone out there has got a score sheet. Someone's contacted Jeff in the past about that.
I know
saying
I'm
how many
in last
times
place,
he's been
that's
wrong.
For sure.
So what do you think, Adam?
I think Apple needs to stop losing phones.
I think this is, I would say this is pretty absurd. When I saw this, I'm like, seriously? How can anybody who has a pre-release iPhone at this point knows the story. Everybody and their mom knows the story. But especially someone who has one and has been trusted, I feel like Steve Jobs, when somebody gets one of these phones, Steve Jobs opens a chest with and you can if you're an onlooker at this, you're behind it and you just see this glow that comes out of this box, and the person's eyes go wide and they reach in and Steve Jobs maybe slams the door on it shut just before they can grab it and says, "Now remember the story of the last guy who lost his phone in a bar before he gives it to him." It just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they can only let Mormons be prototype testers.
That would certainly help the situation.
Maybe that's and I don't say that to be offensive. It's just like
people who don't drink. I mean, you're at a tequila lounge.
Out of bars.
Yeah.
If this is true, and I'm still believing it's not, but if it is true, combined with the last one, I mean, this is a sign that maybe, you know, Steve Jobs really isn't running the company and wasn't running the company a year ago when, I mean, I really got the feeling that Steve, when he came back, only came back because he wanted to get the iPad to fruition. Because, I mean, he said that he believed the iPad was the future even before the iPhone was on the table. And, you know, just the idea that guy, you know, Mark Papermaster was running the iPhone 4 development like a tequila joint, you know, and everybody's taking their phones to the bars. And now he's gone, and now somebody else, again, if this is true... I don't know. It just to me, it kind of points to maybe the company is kind of running a little loose.
Points to when you go and get drunk with pre-release Apple products, nothing good comes of it.
I do that all the time, but I call a cab. The cab takes the phone back to Apple.
Right.
I don't.
Or you keep it at very least. You keep it on one of those chains that people. Used to put on their wallets.
I just want to know how often in anyone's life have they ever left a phone in the bar? How often I want to go find a bartender and say, on a Friday night, how many phones are sitting on this bar at 2 a.m. after closing time? Because it's such a rare, seemingly rare event.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. How are you going to do your 2 a.m. post-last call sexting?
But even when you got a normal phone that isn't a $1 million prototype, you know, with a whole product launch
writing
on it,
you're still
usually leave it in the
someone.
Bar. And you know... What's he thinking? Oh, heck, well, the prototype it was free. I'll just leave it here. I'll pick up another one from Apple in the morning. You know, I don't...
That's the logic. It was free. I didn't have to pay for it. Who cares?
Exactly.
All right. Well, the story we alluded to and probably everybody knows about already is that Steve Jobs has resigned as CEO of Apple. However, he will stay on the board as chairman. Tim Cook is the new CEO, and honestly... I'm pretty okay with the whole situation. I know that when I first saw the story, it was kind of it just came out of nowhere, and my jaw did drop a bit when I first saw it. But now that I've had time to digest it, it seems all right. Especially the fact that
wait a minute, back up. It came out of nowhere.
Your jaw dropped and you died. Oh, wait a minute, never mind.
I feel like it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it.
Let me tell you something. And I wish I had the brains to say it, or maybe had been on the show at the time, because it's one of the very few times that I would have been right about something. I don't know if it was at the investor conference call or maybe I misheard where it was from. At some point, somebody asked Steve Jobs about the ongoing, is there an ongoing search for a permanent CEO, and implied the are you dying right now, Steve? How long are you going to live, Steve, kind of question. I thought, oh, that's it. They keep pestering him. He's just going to walk away. You know, when I saw that, I thought, well, that's exactly what he did. He resigned the CEO position just because as chairman, you know, they're still going to ask the questions, but he doesn't really have to answer them. You know, he doesn't have to play these silly games that he does in the CEO role where every shareholder, you know, wants his medical records. And it just didn't surprise me at all. Sure enough, a few weeks after that conference call or whatever it was, all of a sudden he's like, screw you, I'm not CEO anymore. You know, I'll just hang around and own the company.
I always felt that back in January when they announced that he was on indefinite medical leave, that was really him saying, I'm stepping down. And the months that followed, I think, was just preparations and kind of figuring out,
yeah,
you know, plans and stuff like that. And, you know, so it was back to I'm CEO and title only, but Tim Cook has been running the show for a long, long time. So let's now, this was more just like, okay, now let's make it official.
Right. And I feel like to me, a lot of the great thing about him resigning as CEO is that there are a lot of other things other than just creative input that probably go into being a CEO of Apple, things that he might not necessarily want to deal with, things that his time may be better spent meditating in a completely windowless, pure white room.
This is also a man who spent his first 4 years back at Apple as interim CEO.
I think we forget that
he fought that title forever until investors kind of forced him into it in 2000.
Right, and now that he's in this, especially the fact that he wants to stay on as chairman, he's still remaining active in Disney. It doesn't seem to me like he's about to die, which has been everybody's suspicion.
His letter of resignation. Was very short and terse in legalese. And if you've read the Steve letters, Future of Music, Thoughts on Flash, he'll write like these 6-page, very deep, very introspective, kind of highbrow, you know, monologues. And if this is his farewell, if the man is dead in a month and this was the last thing he's ever going to share with the public, that, you know, that little 2-paragraph thing he wrote was something his lawyers wrote. So I really, you know, if he were dying, I suspect he would have written a very... you know, a farewell resignation letter on the
right.
level of what he said to Stanford at the commencement. That
right,
time.
And he wouldn't want to stay on as chairman, and especially the board would not allow him to be chairman because they would know about his medical
right.
situation.
Did they have a chairman before, though?
No,
I mean,
they didn't.
See, that's the thing. A company, that's the one thing it does make me wonder, is he can stay in that role even if he... You know, I mean, he's probably going to have a shortened lifespan because of all the things that have happened. He could keep that role forever, and then if he passes on in 5, 10, 20 years or something, you know, they don't have to immediately replace him or ever replace him in that role.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just referring. I don't even think that speculating about that or even it's totally irrelevant to anything. So.
Yeah. So... What else do we have to say? Oh, I would just like to comment on one thing. There was an image that I saw. One of my friends showed me that was on Reddit of Steve Jobs looking awful. I'm pretty sure, firstly, it was Photoshopped. And secondly, again, as we have been saying, the fact that he's staying on as chairman and still going to stay on the Disney board... I don't think we should be that concerned about his health. I think we should just give it a rest.
I think it's none of our business.
Yeah.
It's none of anybody's business.
Yeah. Yeah. So there have been a lot of next generation iPhone part leaks in the last week or so. There was before I get into what these parts were, they kind of bring a lot more confusion to the idea of them introducing an iPhone 4S and an iPhone 5, or whether the iPhone 5 that, you know, we're referring to it as the iPhone 5, they may just introduce the iPhone 4S, but whether it will be a significant case redesign or just really what's going on. Because so far, the only thing that we've seen that indicates a change in the look of the next generation iPhone were those case specifications. And other than that, we haven't seen any other evidence.
Except the prototype in a bar.
Well, we still haven't seen that yet. Someone on Craigslist needs to email us.
I got a press release today that had an image of a new iPhone 5 case.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not even going to say who, because I think they were just fishing for, you know, for promotion.
Yeah, I'm glad.
They just said, we're going to have an iPhone case when it comes out, and this is the model. And they were promoting their iPhone 4 case. But what's interesting is they did include an image, and it was noticeably wider in the image. So,
well, I think at this point, it's a safe bet that anybody who has a Verizon iPhone case out right now, they're set. They're good to go with the with at least the iPhone 4S, if there is going to be a distinction between two different ones. So some of the parts we've seen the casing, the inner metal portion that actually holds the circuitry, as well as the antennas which go around. So as we can see from these images, and I believe that it's from iPatch iPods, they got the images of this.
Good reliable source.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it appears as though there's it's almost identical to the CDMA version, except that there's an extra antenna spot for it.
Okay, so here's the thing for me with all this stuff, and I hate we come off sounding so pessimistic about all this stuff, but you have to like consider all this stuff shows up, and so I don't even want to loop myself in with all these rumor websites and stuff like that, but they make the leap that, you know, these are supposedly images of supposed parts of a supposed phone that we think may or may not be coming out. And then what they do is they wrap around it what seems to me very obvious facts about what might be included in a, not facts, but speculation, excuse me, about what might be in a next generation device. So then it all comes off kind of sounding plausible. And I think what we're left with is just speculation that makes sense when you start to really think about it. So,
well,
Apple wants to build a world phone, right? They want to build one phone that they can just sell, because from a manufacturing standpoint, from a production standpoint, that just makes the most sense.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, they're gonna come out with a phone that is a world phone. I think the iPhone 5 is gonna be universal. They're gonna be able to have it on GSM and CDMA, and I think that's not surprising. So yeah, these may be the parts because they look a certain way, but at the end of the day, it's all speculation. It is. There's no, I don't put much belief in a lot of these things until we actually see them.
I think you can apply a little bit of common sense, and I agree with you. We know nothing. But, I mean, if you look at it, okay, so for instance, you know, the question is, are we going to get a new iPhone, whether it be the 5, the 4S, the XYZ, that's basically the new, the current iPhone 4 with just a faster processor wedged in there, regardless of what they call it. And if they were going to do that, wouldn't they have just done that in June? I mean, that would have been the easiest thing to do. Yep. That fact alone makes me think there's got to be something substantially different coming that they would say, okay, we're going to hold up the works and piss everyone. Because I hear from a lot of readers who are actually angry. Oh, I got a 3GS, it's dying. Where's this damn iPhone 5 or whatever? Apple knows they're ticking off people with this. So it must be something really worth waiting for. And I think that's about as far as you can take this sort of basic logic. But there's got to be something. If they come out with an i4s now and that's it, and it's the same phone with an a5 in it, it's going to be the biggest backlash, you know, Apple's had in a long time.
Yeah, so then there, so okay, let me I'll dole out what we have in terms of what these parts, and they kind of all align up, at least in terms of an iPhone 4s. We have the metal structure with an extra antenna break, which lends credence to the fact that we're probably going to be seeing a dual CDMA GSM iPhone. We get to the photos of what seems to be an iPhone 4S logic board, which is almost identical to the CDMA version of the iPhone, except that it has an A5 chip and a SIM card tray.
Do we know that it has an A5 chip or just a space that looks like it would be for an A5 chip?
It is it's an elongated main processor chip that's unlabeled. All the chips on here are unlabeled, but it does, according to iFixit, they say that it very much resembles an A5. So it could be something else. It could have some additional processor stuff for the dual mode part, I guess. Yeah.
The reason I'm saying that is because this, I think some of the confusion, and this is my pure speculation, but again, resorting to logic and what makes sense, right? iPhone 5 comes out. That's the new phone, A5 processor, upgraded specs, upgraded case design, stuff like that. Apple is still going to, we have all this speculation about Apple designing some sort of entry-level phone. I think they're going to continue the thing that they've always done. And they've done this with Macs. They've done this with, the current generation iPhone. They take the prior model, right, and they make that the $49 or the free or whatever. So
right,
it's $100. The 3GS right now, right?
Yes.
There's going to be a version of the iPhone 4, right, that is the entry-level model, the low-priced model. And I see no reason why Apple wouldn't make, they could make some easy improvements, take that Verizon model, put the GSM world chip in there, but keep the basic design of the iPhone 4 and 8 megabytes of storage or 16, whatever it ends up being, probably 8, and then have that be the $49 phone. And so I think that's probably where this iPhone 4S stuff is coming from. It's just going to be a retooled single iPhone 4 they can sell across all of the networks, GSM, CDMA, and have that be their entry level
device. Yeah, and that's the idea.
iPhone 5 is the other one sitting out there. Sorry.
That makes so much sense. I don't know how to respond.
No, that was the idea that I thought. As I was looking through all of these images, the only thing that threw that idea off is that it seems like it's an A5 chip. Now, again, it's not labeled, so there's no way we can really know if it is an A5 chip or not. There could be some extra stuff in there. Who knows?
They may have just redesigned the A4 slightly to fit,
Yeah, it may just have more surface area to
rejigger things around.
Yeah, whatever. We don't know. But
that would be less likely because it would probably involve retooling, the fabs for the chips. So that doesn't make sense from that standpoint. So that does kind of throw the theory off.
But there hasn't really been a detailed look at these. And it does look like some of these. It's interesting. It's very interesting. And I think that idea makes the most sense. That and the fact that we've been hearing a lot of this next generation or the reduced price iPhone 4 may have less memory. We're thinking around 8 gigs of storage in order to facilitate a lower price, which does play along nicely with the iTunes Match streaming service.
I just thought of another thing on that, on the iPhone 4. What if it had a single core A5?
Well, there you go. There you go. Boom. Adam solved it for everybody. Thank you.
They can clock down or take the rejects like Intel does. If it doesn't spec out to an A5, then, maybe there's some of that going on. An A5 for a 4G.
The 8 gigs throws me off, though. I mean, are you telling me if it's going to be 8 gigs, that means that the high-end iPhone 5 is still only going to be 32?
Well, it may be 16.
Michael, if for people who turn on the streaming, it would make sense you need less storage. But and in my case, I've been using the thing where, I buy a song in iTunes and it shoots out to my iPhone. I now have more music on my iPhone because I still continue to just sync a certain playlist. But now I got, songs being added in on the fly that are just downloading through the cloud service. So I'm actually filling up my iPhone faster than before. So the whole cloud thing is making me want a larger capacity phone, whereas you would turn on the streaming and you would want a smaller capacity.
I would honestly, depending on what the situation is, and I've been thinking about this. So if it turns out when the next generation iPhone comes out, I would have to drop my unlimited data plan and instead get a 64 gig with a dual core A5, yada, yada, I would probably stick with my current phone and go with streaming, even though I'd be able to get more space. Now, if I wouldn't have to drop that unlimited data, I would go with the more space and tend to store more stuff locally because, again, I would have to deal with streaming. I would have to worry about network coverage, etc. But I want to keep my unlimited data for
why
other
would you,
things.
Why would you have to give it up?
Just because if you're upgrading, you are signing a new contract. And I think in that case, I'm not entirely sure what AT&T's contract really says about that kind of thing. But they may have the ability to just say, okay, you're signing a new contract. We don't have unlimited plans anymore. You're not going to be grandfathered in anymore.
Well, I know that yeah, when I bought the...
I think that goes away.
When I bought the white iPhone 4 in April or May or whatever it was, that didn't happen for me. So,
can I have your white iPhone 4, by the way?
What's that?
Can I have your white iPhone 4, by the way?
Sure. $1,000?
Can we trade?
$2,000? What do you have?
A black iPhone 4.
You can trade me a black iPhone 5 for my white iPhone 4. We'll call that even.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll shake on it.
All right. That's okay. A good deal.
No, I'm kind of with you, Michael. I think AT&T and all the carriers are going to pull the. I think they want everybody they possibly can get off of unlimited data off now. I think they're done with that, and I really do fear that I'm going to go to upgrade, and they're going to go, if you want the iPhone 5, you gotta go to our data pro plan.
They do that to me. I'm going to Verizon. I mean,
you go to Sprint.
Verizon's going to do the same thing is the problem.
No, that's the thing. But if I'm going to be stuck with limited data, I'd rather have a carrier that's a little less crappy. And to me, there's not much difference between them. But the reason I'm still on AT&T is unlimited data. And I hear from a lot of other people that are in that same situation. So I wonder if maybe they'd rather lose me. Maybe I'm too expensive to them. They want me to go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So
they'd rather you go to the other guy.
Yeah, in addition to those, the internal frame, the logic board, also what looks like a front panel, engineering verification test 2, it's labeled, it's carrying a date of June 7th, 2011. And I just got an email just now, iOS beta 7 is now available. So there's some breaking news. How about that?
How many betas do they usually do?
I would say this is probably the most betas they've done.
Right. It's almost like they said to the iOS team, hey, the iPhone 5 is going to take forever, so take all the time you want.
Well, there are a buttload of features, a metric buttload of features in iOS 5. There are a lot of great things in iOS 5, so it does make sense that there are a lot of testing.
Is a metric buttload smaller than a regular buttload?
Yeah, if you look at tonnage.
Does this go back to Pizza Hut? Should we even go there?
I don't think anybody understands what a Pizza Hut reference would
be
about.
That's the point. It's always fun to throw in something in the middle of the show that goes back to the pre-show and then not explain what it meant.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, let's edit all this out and just try it again.
No, I just want the audience to be looking, what, Pizza Hut? What the hell is he talking about?
Exactly. So in addition to that front panel, there's also a, again, engineering verification test. It's labeled, I think, EVT2, as well as which is what the front panel is labeled, although this is a white part from a different outlet. Does not appear to, based on what I've seen from the inside of an iPhone, both of these parts are identical to the iPhone 4. So I would say the only thing that indicates that it's a next generation part or anything different is that it has these EVT testing markings on them. Now, idealcase.com seems to have one of the inner metal structures as well as other places. And they did a very nice comparison of the three different iPhone 4, well, the two iPhone 4 casings as well as the supposed iPhone 4 or iPhone 5 metal structure. So it shows that the band, it's kind of a hybrid of what we have right now with the CDMA and GSM phones. So the iPhone on Verizon has four spots. It looks like four spots for different antennas. However, there's only one cellular antenna on that. One of the breaks is a cosmetic break. On this current casing, it's an actual break for another antenna. So it's essentially, it looks like the Verizon metal band along with a SIM card tray that it looks like the SIM card tray opens on a different side. So that's interesting as well. Adam, are you still with us?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that's all we have. That's all we have to talk about.
Can we talk more about Canada? I liked how they came into the show for no clear reason.
I'm just like, yeah, we're going to know all this stuff in a couple weeks anyway. So.
I'm going to be very excited when Lala comes back in iTunes. That's the thing I'm most excited about. I just cannot wait for that iTunes match thing. When Steve Jobs said, hey, it's going to be $25 and you can re-download all your music, I thought, well, I have all my music on both of my computers already. I don't want to pay for that ability even to upgrade. I feel like most of my music is in a higher quality than that anyway. But if you can stream it to your iPhone, I'm all about it. So with that, we'll move on to the end of the show. You can contact us. The number is 202-642-6667. Put that in your phone. Save it for later when you need to give us a call. You can do that. Ask us a question. Leave us a comment. If you have any comments or questions or anything about, especially what we talked about today, maybe with regard to iTunes Match and that kind of stuff, give us a call, 202-642-6667. Or you can email us your audio comments. We definitely prefer that because it's easier. I can just download it from my email and play it, and it's probably better quality anyway, and you can do it from your iPod Touch, your iPhone, and email it to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Of course, review us in iTunes or just leave us a rating. We really appreciate that kind of thing. You can find the iPhone picks that we usually do or the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Our advertising is provided by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com, and they're very cool people, so check them out if you want to advertise. Bill Palmer is at Beatweek Magazine, which is beatweek.com. And you can also find him on Twitter at his new Twitter address. You have a new Twitter address, right?
Yeah, I wanted to make it a surprise. It's at Beatweek. I'm not going to explain how we came up with that name.
I would have guessed at Pronger.
You know, I had a pick, though. We're not doing picks?
Yeah, what happened to our picks?
All right, we'll do picks.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you can. I'm really okay. Yeah, you can go first, but it better not be like Nicki Minaj's latest album or whatever.
No. I hope this is okay. I picked it's an ebook and an audio book, which is like an iOS product. It's this book I'm reading. It's by Virgin Atlantic founder
Bossy
Richard
Pants.
Branson. It's called Losing My Virginity, and I have to say I'm very disappointed because I thought it was a how-to manual.
Oh,
and it's not. But
It wasn't from one of the Four Dummies. It's not a Four Dummies title.
Yeah, Losing Your Virginity for Dummies.
By Richard Branson. That would be fantastic.
So that's my pick, and I hope you don't put a link on the website, because I'm already sorry I brought it up.
That is a prerequisite. What is it called?
Losing My Virginity.
Losing My Virginity. Okay.
I think it's a Madonna song, too.
Yeah, it's in the iBook store?
I don't even know. I ordered a copy of it. Somebody told me it was a good book. I ordered a copy off of Amazon Marketplace, and it cost $2. And when it came, it was from Goodwill of Northern New England. So apparently I gave $2 to charity, and I'm feeling good about that. I don't really know what happened. I've made up none of this so far, actually.
Okay, good. All right, Adam, what is your pick?
My pick? Now I totally forgot it, of course. I got to bring it up here. God, my pick.
The show has reached a new low.
Yeah, I've just destroyed it. Oh, it's an app called. It's called Canyon Country National Parks, and it's an interesting story how I found this thing. Actually, do you guys know the website Dribbble, with three D's?
Oh yeah, I love Dribbble.
Yeah, it's a site for designers to go on and kind of share their design concepts and stuff like that. There's a lot of iOS stuff up there, icon design and graphic design.
If you're turned on by user interface design, you just go there and you are just never going to leave.
And really, who isn't?
So I saw these great images from this one designer, and it was for this app. And so I went to check out the app, and it turns out the app is also really, really cool. So it's actually put out by, I think, the state of Utah, utah.com, and it is all of their national parks. So it's a free app. You can download it. You launch the app, and you get kind of a map. They have all the major national parks that are in the state of Utah and also a couple in Arizona. So you've got the Grand Canyon, Canyonlands, Bryce Canyon, Zion, Great Basin, all those places. And then it has little points of interest, and you can click on them and get images and details about different locations. There's multiple images, little different facts about the location, the GPS coordinates, elevation, stuff like that. And then for the main national parks, you go in and you get all the images, but then you also get this little sidebar that are services that are in that area. So you have hotels and inns and lodging, camping locations and dining locations that you can check out, along with links to websites and phone numbers and stuff like that. And so I'm hoping that this is something that other national parks kind of pick up and take on.
You mean not having an awful design for their app, you mean? Having something that's actually good.
Are there other national parks that have apps that are really bad? No. I just meant just the concept of, I'm hoping this developer opens it up. Maybe it's a platform that they're working on giving to other states and,
oh, it looks
and
fantastic.
National parks. Yeah, it's a beautiful looking app. My only complaint is that when you go in to look at the images, they're in kind of a little window that, it's like a pop-up thing that slides up, and they're in a little window, and you can swipe through them. Sometimes they'll have two or three images, but you can't blow them up. So I wish you, because some of the images are really beautiful, and so you can kind of take a virtual tour of all these, these different national parks in the state of Utah and Arizona. But I wish you could get bigger pictures, and also I wish there were more parks available or more of the country covered. But as just a starter, it's a beautiful app and it's free. So
awesome. Canyon Country National Parks is the name of the app.
Yep.
And my pick this week, and I don't know why we haven't talked about it since it came out, but this is one of the apps that I just use all the time and I don't even think about it. It's the IMDb app on my iPad. And I don't think I even have IMDb loaded on my iPhone just because it just doesn't make any sense for me. But it's a universal application, the official International Movie Database app. It's free and it's freaking awesome. So if you're ever like, who is that actor in that one movie, or you're watching a movie and you want to know who's in it and what other things, maybe you recognize someone and you're like, oh, isn't that person from that other movie? And you can look it up and you can just drill down and look at all the other things that people have done. And I find myself using this app all the time. So you should definitely just put it on your iPad, leave it there. At some point, you will find a use for it. You'll just say, "Oh, I gotta check out the top Alyssa Milano news." That was the worst example. That was the first thing that popped up here. Hangover 2 stuff. There you go. You can look at stuff about Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis.
I'll take swords for 200.
Thank you. And
hey,
so, yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Anal bum cover.
Don't tell Michael, but what he doesn't realize is that I picked that in episode 68 and then he picked it in episode 72.
No, I thought Ken Ray picked it in episode 72.
Oh, is it Ken Ray? Oh yeah, he did.
Hi. I did actually research this before I picked it. Thank you very much.
Pick swords.
Still a good pick though. It's a rockin' pick.
So we picked
it three times now.
Famous
titties. I'd like to pick IMDb app for iPhone, since clearly no one has picked that yet.
Okay. Yeah, that's Bill's pick now.
Yeah.
And then mine.
I'm just wondering what the time frame is for repicking. I think there should be one.
It's like 5 minutes. Cause
I think whenever there's a significant reason to repick, that's it. And that's the rule that I've been following.
I have a significant reason to repick.
Yeah, but except you never pick anything that you pick things that are like tangentially related to iOS things, which is fine.
Because I don't have any apps.
Do you have an iPhone, Bill?
Technically. Okay. I pick Words with Friends. I bet no one's heard of that.
Solitaire.app?
I am not a clever with the apps. Yeah, I just don't. Angry Birds, Rio, is that new?
I don't know. I've never played Angry Birds.
Sacrilege. And you own an iPhone.
The Twitter app, is that, no, Tweety 3?
Tweety, yeah, pick Tweety 3. That's
I'll
my
take the
that's,
weather app.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my phone here. I'm telling you what I got. I don't know.
What is anybody still Shazam, right? Is anybody still listening?
Are there any more Jeopardy puns that we can make before we finish this show?
Femtoba!
I think everybody already stopped the podcast.
Right when I started talking about losing my virginity, I'm sure they'll just click.
No, everybody became very attentive at that point. All right, I'm at Michael Johnson on Twitter. Of course, I also have the at Lil Reviews, L-I-L Reviews, for little Twitter-sized reviews of various things. You can find all that on internet, and we will see you next time on We Have Communicators. It was good. I give
yeah,
us a slow.
I don't think you outroed me or Bill, but thanks.
I did. Oh.
Did you?
Did before the picks.
Okay, well, we'll edit this in. Okay.
No, I don't care. Did we or did we not? I don't even
I didn't
care.
Do you.
No, you did, because remember you had me ask. You asked me what my new Twitter was.
Yeah. Adam Christensen as at the Mattcast, mattcast.com. You can also find the member version of the Mattcast, member.mattcast.com. And he's also at Mattcast on Twitter.
Yeah, don't follow any of that stuff.
Well,
that's cool.
I second that.
You should follow Adam. I would follow Jeff. He's got a lot of funny things, but he's not on right now. At Jeff Gamet. At Jay Gamet, right?
From, I've been wanting to make that joke for 112 years.
Okay,
so
that was
thank
good.
You for that softball.
Okay. All right, we'll see you next time when we have communicators.
An iPod. An internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.